time with the coffee.
It's above me,
huh? Well, good morning, everyone. We are at 8:31, I think. We will, at least all of our board members have shown up for the most part. I think we may get one straggler or one or two stragglers here or there, but we have a quorum to conduct business. And we appreciate you all braving the elements to come and participate. This is the Community Impact Board meeting of February 6th, 2020. A couple of items. We have 12 applications for our next trimester, which we can do in two meetings. So we're going to cancel the March meeting, and we'll do April, May, and then the funding meeting in June. So that will be removed from your calendar, and we'll give you a day back for yourselves. We will turn some time over to Candace to do a financial review of where we stand. Candace.
Good morning. Today, this is the second funding meeting of the second trimester of fiscal year 2020. As in all meetings, CIB does not, it's not a public hearing, it's a review meeting for the review of applications from the applicant, or today is the opportunity the board has to give final authorization to the projects they've already reviewed. On today's agenda, there are 11 priority projects. There's one request for supplemental funding from North Henry Water Users. That is in your packet. At last meeting, there was a question on the Carbon County Municipal Building Authority, or should it be the Southeast Health that was the applicant? It will indeed be Carbon County, so your agenda is as stands. If the board funds all applications today, as indicated on the financial page, we have funding. The funding is adequate up to this point. February 1 was the application deadline. Of course, we bumped it until February 3rd, which Chairman Hardy indicated that we've received enough applications for barely two meetings. But those, you received a handout indicating what those applications were. The reason that the March meeting was chosen to be canceled is it allows DEQ their normal review process for water projects and sewer projects, so it's April and May. And some commissioners are going to NACO.
Yeah,
was, that works too. No. Yes. Very funny. Very funny. Okay. DEQ only reviews. You can apply to CIB. You can apply to DEQ, but only apply to make the actual application to one. Make sure you talk to everybody to find what is best for your project. But when you make application, application should only be to one or the other. There are board member discussion items at the bottom, and when we get to that, there will be a handout. And as you can see, you've done well. We have funding. It's not coming in the mass quantities that it did, like in 2014 and 2013, but we're doing better. You're getting the money out, and so we appreciate that. And that's today's meeting.
Great. Thank you, Candace. We will go ahead and do introductions of our board and invite you to press your button on your microphone to speak so we can get this all on the record. We'll start over with Mr. Stevens.
Kyle Stevens, representing the Utah Board of Water Resources.
Irene Hansen, Duchesne County Commissioner.
Mike Dalton, Beaver County Commissioner, representing the Fife County AOG.
Nagi Zanati from sunny and warm St. George, representing UDOT Commission. And Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to have these meetings January, February, March in St. George.
Second.
With three days weekend for the staff.
But it'll take me 3 days to get there. In that
it takes me 5 days to get here, so 3 days is not that bad.
In fact, he didn't even make it.
Yeah. I understand.
That's part of the agenda. Before you leave home, you have to push me out of the driveway because my car got stuck there.
All right. Well, duly noted.
Thank you.
Are you parked out on the street
because
you couldn't get in?
Yeah.
That's him.
Parking is too steep for St. George.
Okay. Pam Shostrom, Administrative Assistant to the Board.
Allison Garner with the Attorney General's Office.
Jonathan Hardy, Chairman of the Board.
Good morning. My name is Keith Eaton. I'm with the Community Development Office.
Candace Powers, Fund Manager for the Mineral Lease Funds.
Morning, I'm Bruce Adams. I'm from southern Utah, but we're under a mountain of snow rather than what Nagy gets. I'm with the San Juan County Commission representing the southeastern Utah AOG.
Jack Lytle from Daggett County, Utah, representing the Uinta Basin AOG. And I would make a counterproposal that we have the summer meetings in Dutch John.
I'm for that.
Welcome.
Mayor Dean Baker, represent Uinta County.
Tudor Ogden, Sevier County Commissioner, representing the Six County Association of Governments.
Gail Gardner with Housing and Community Development Division.
And we did have one straggler come in.
Ooh.
A straggler is not a derogatory term there, so.
It's the Honorable Mr. Straggler to you, Mr. David Damson, State Treasurer. Good to be with you this morning. Glad you could make it.
Yeah. Great. And we have Brenda at the controls over here, Brenda Brown with our division, and we have our bond counsel here as well for a funding meeting. We have the minutes before us of December 12, 2019. Would entertain a motion on those.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Mr. Zanotti, a second by Mayor Baker to approve the minutes of December 12, 2019. Oh, sorry, the second was from Commissioner Ogden. And my peripheral vision is like failing me over here. Thank you for that correction.
We know that for sure.
I know. The same guys keep getting like put over here. We just need to do a little switch up every meeting. So
that's why Mayor Baker moved that way.
Yeah. Okay, the motion is to approve the minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
I'll abstain since I was absent.
Okay, and an abstention from Commissioner Dalton. Those minutes are approved. As Candace noted, this is a funding meeting. We do have a couple applicants on the phone if a question comes up. We've already reviewed these projects, so only if there's additional questions will we be diving into that. So we'll start with our projects. First one on the agenda is the Ashley Valley Water and Sewer Improvement District. We can entertain a motion, or if there's other questions, you can let me know at this time.
Move to approve, Mr. Chairman.
So the motion is to approve a $660,000 loan, 30-year at 1.5%.
Second.
Sorry, 1%. Yes, by Mr. Zanotti and a second from Commissioner Adams. Further discussion to that motion? Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Mazer Water Improvement District, this is for a $375,000 loan, 30 years, 0%, and $125,000 grant.
Make the motion to approve.
A motion from Commissioner Lytle, who I saw first time in my peripheral vision right here.
I waited till you were looking.
Yes. Is there a second?
Second.
A second from Treasurer Damson. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions. The motion passes unanimously. Salina City, $1,700,000 loan, 30 years, 1%, and a $1,700,000 grant.
I'll make that motion.
Commissioner second. Ogden makes the motion to approve, and a second from Commissioner Dalton. Further discussion to that motion? Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Carbon County Municipal Building Authority, $1,434,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%, $1,434,000 grant.
Motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Is that a motion to approve, Commissioner Adams?
A motion to approve.
Okay, Commissioner Adams, and a second from Mr. Stevens to approve. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions. The motion passes unanimously. Let's see if I can get the name right on this. Local Building Authority of San Juan County Health Service District. That's a long name. $4,073,000 loan, 30 years, 1%, and a $1,357,228 grant.
Motion to approve, Mr. Chairman.
A motion to approve from Mr. Zanotti.
Second.
A second from Commissioner Dalton. Was the first one to get in on that. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? That motion passes unanimously. Okay, Kane County Recreation and Transportation Special Service District is $1,500,000 grant.
Question, Chairman?
Yes.
They talked about looking for additional funding from Afton Coal. Did we have hear anything back on that?
Yes, we did.
Candace. And if our applicants are here, is anybody here from Kane County? Are they on? Oh,
yes,
all right. Come on up.
We did receive an email back, and it was forwarded to the board members through an email.
Correct.
It's right up there, their response to that request from the board, and it's in your board packet as well. So,
is there anything additional you want to add to that particular question? Sorry, will you push the button on the mic and then speak into it and introduce yourself, please?
Yes, Luke Pratt with Kane County.
It's got to go.
There you go.
So it's green.
Yeah, Luke Pratt with Kane County. The only thing I'd like to add is that Alton Coal is on the coal, on the federal coal. They've got between 12 and 15 million invested into just being able to get onto the federal land. Kane County feels Alton Coal is a really good partner and would like to see them continue to grow, and we help this road project will help both Kane County and Alton Coal, as we've all put a lot of money into getting them where they're at now.
That's your question. Any follow-up?
Nope, it does. Thank you.
All right.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve from Commissioner Dalton, a second from Commissioner Lytle to approve a $1,500,000 grant. Any further discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Okay, that motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Town of Taviona, $783,000 loan, 30 years, 0%, and a $1,825,000 grant.
I make that motion. Approve.
Motion from Commissioner Ogden.
I have a question first, if I could.
Let's see if there's a second, and then we'll get to some discussion on this.
Second.
A second from Mr. Stevens. Yes, question.
The only question I had was that they talked in there that they were going to increase their rates in January of this year.
They did.
They did? Yes. Do you have what that was they went up to?
The council passed to increase water rates starting in April by $10 per month.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, further discussion or questions? Motion before us is to approve. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? That motion passes unanimously. Castle Valley Special Service District, $1 million loan, 6 years, 2.5%, and a $772,000 grant.
I will make a motion to approve this project.
I will second that motion.
So a motion made by Commissioner Adams to approve, seconded by Commissioner Lytle.
Question?
Yes, question. Mr. Dalton.
The grant and the loan don't add up to the project.
They
is their money in?
Okay.
Cash. Thank you.
And we welcome our second honorable straggler today, so Mr. Galecki.
It only took an extra hour and a half.
Yeah. Wow. He's one of the brave ones that drives up the day of the meeting, so that, you know, that's a challenge. Okay, we have a motion before us to approve. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? That motion passes unanimously. Town of Tropic, $393,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%, and a $392,000 grant.
So moved.
Second.
A motion from Mr. Zanotti and a second from Treasurer Dampson to approve. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? The motion passes unanimously. Town of Minersville, $300,000 loan, 30 years, 1%, $400,000 grant.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, I'll give Commissioner Adams the motion to approve since he's on my right side, and Commissioner Dalton the second. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? That motion passes unanimously. Millard County, $250,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%, and a $250,000 grant.
I'll make that motion. We approve that.
Second.
Motion from Commissioner Ogden and a second from Mr. Zanotti to approve. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Nay from Mr. Galecki. Any abstentions? That motion passes. On to a supplemental request. We'll invite North Emory Water Users Special Service District, if they're here, up to the table. Turn just a brief time over to Candace on this project. Again, this is a project we've already funded. This is a supplemental request. Candace.
On the agenda today for a supplemental request is North Emory Water Users Special Service District. This is for the North Cleveland Loop Line improvements. The original funding was $431,000, of which there was a $216,000 loan, 25-year at 2.5%, and a $215,000 grant. The project has closed. We've issued the bond on this. And it was discovered there were a couple of items that needed to be accommodated. One was there was a change of alignment occurred after the CIB application was submitted and funding was received. And it's on your map in the application request. There were unforeseen construction challenges, such as groundwater, and rights-of-way easements. Procurement costs were left out of the original CIB funding request. So this request originally was submitted as a $70,000 extra supplemental funding, half grant, half loan, so $35,000 grant, $35,000 loan. They realized that if there was some loan with this, they would need to have bonding costs, so the follow-up was for an extra $6,000 to cover the cost of the issuance of bonds. In considering this and the cost of issuance of bonds, splitting it up 35-35 does not really make sense. The best use of this money, in my inimitable wisdom, is that it should be awarded as 100% grant, or 100% loan. But 100% grant is more cost effective. The board can do what they would choose to do, but
what would be the cost of the loan?
The cost of the loan would give you an extra. It would have to be $76,000 because there needs to be that cost because the extra money is barely $70,000. I mean that would cover the costs. I don't know if there's an amount of contingency in that, that might buffer to accommodate a loan. You are leaving on the table a 2.5% interest amount, which for $70,000...
Does it even recover?
It might. It's the board's decision. The board, you know, can do a generic bond. It still has that $6,000 cost to it, no matter the paperwork, the research, and all that stuff. But keep in mind, on this project, it's already been done because we have issued a bond. I think they changed the alignment, which caused rights-of-way problems, but that's up to the applicant if you want to ask them questions. Like I said, we've already issued the bond. It's in place. We would have to either do a replacement bond or a supplemental bond, which both ways, there's cost incurred with that. But it's up to the applicant. They should probably discuss a little bit further why this shortage occurred so far into the project. So that would be my question.
All right, we have our applicants with us. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'm Parker Versamack with Johnson & Mill Engineering, the project manager for North Emery Water Users.
I'm Kerry Monroe with Johnson & Mill Engineering.
So as Candace pointed out, there was an alignment change that was necessary after the bond had closed as we moved into the project. The dashed blue line on the exhibit that's shown on the screen behind you there, that was the proposed alignment. In the preliminary design and early design stages, that seemed to be the most feasible. It affected the least amount of property owners, and North Emery was on a very tight budget, and that fit the budget. However, as we moved into design further, we were unable to get some of the property owners to allow us to put the pipe alignment there. So the thin red line is the final alignment that was settled on. As Candace pointed out, there was about $10,000 in additional rights of way procurement and a lot additional surveying to get all those documents drafted up. Along with that, the alignment ended up being over 700 feet longer than originally planned, and that's where the vast majority of the overruns come in. One property that we crossed, there were significant groundwater issues. It cost about $25,000 in additional labor and imported material to get through that area. So those are the reasons for the overrun. Any other questions?
Go to the board for questions. Mr. Galecki.
So is it practice that, you know, you will, you know, go to funding and such before you even have the easements and, you know, like you have an alignment, but you didn't have the right of way on that?
I think that's a really great question, and to be 100% honest, I came into the project about 6 months ago, and 6 months after the original funding was pulled together. I believe when the original funding was sought that there were verbal agreements, and it was believed that the original alignment was the most feasible, most cost effective, and also that we were going to be able to do it that way. There were some unfortunate and unforeseen circumstances that came up and changed that direction, though.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zanotti.
So do you have all the right-of-ways on the contract this time? Everybody's agreed to in writing?
Is it already built?
It is built, and yes, all the right-of-ways agreements are in place and have been reviewed by the Special Service District's attorney.
And the $10,000, $100,000 is going to cover?
So the $70,000 would cover all the additional expenses for the pipeline alignment change, and then the additional rights-of-way legal the surveying associated with that, and then also the softs, the ground improvements that we had to go through to deal with the groundwater. Okay. So the $70,000 covers all the additional project costs, and then as Candace pointed out, if we do part of it as either as loan, we would have to do an additional bond closing, which is $6,000.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Lytle.
Got a few questions. When did you complete it?
The first of the year, about a month ago. Part of the reason we're at this funding meeting and not the previous one is it took a few weeks of meetings with the Special Service District to decide how the best way to proceed. They're in a tight spot financially, you know, trying to be very fiscally minded with what they're doing with their resources. So they talked internally significantly. You know, how do we handle this shortfall and deal with it? And we just weren't ready to come in January. So that strung us out an extra month until now.
We didn't have one, so you didn't have an opportunity.
Okay.
Has the engineering firm been on the project the whole time?
We
same
have.
One?
Yes.
Same engineer to boot.
Yes, we've been with North Emory through the planning and development phase, securing the funding, and then design and construction.
But project managers did change partway through the project.
Okay. All right. How much time went by before you knew that this would... When did you find out you couldn't go through? Because I'm just trying to get a timing in if the unplanned part of it or the handshake or the whatever. I know, for lack of other terms, in general society, I shouldn't say crap, but crap happens. That's the nicer one.
Yeah, so the alignment change occurred in September was when we began looking at the alignment that we ultimately took. That's when we secured all the other rights of way, had them reviewed by the attorney. The soft spot occurred later in the fall, November. It was kind of the close of the project when all that financials tied back together, and the district was looking at options internally to self-fund, and ultimately it was they're in a position where they're very humbly coming back and asking for some additional assistance to finish the project and close it out.
Thank you.
Mayor Baker?
If there's no other comments, I'd make a motion.
Hang tight. I know we got Mr. Galecki over here with another question.
Okay. Sorry. I guess typically at the board, we have various mechanisms to do other than this. One, it seems like often the applicant will say, well, if they don't have enough money, you know, cover the cost, they'll cover it themselves. If we have emergency funding, you know, they'll come in and say, okay, early on, September or something, we see we have a problem, you know, you try to secure funding. And personally, I know in myself running projects that, you know, in our company, I've got to make sure and get that approved prior when I see there's a problem, prior to spending the money. So all of those things kind of, in my mind, 100% grant is somewhat of a bad precedent. So, but that's all I have to say.
I second the Mayor Baker's motion.
Well, let me hear Mayor Baker's motion here first.
May I just say one thing?
Hold on.
You want me to make a motion?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I make the motion. I realize all the comments, and I sat there and went through all that with my thoughts too. But for the amount of money and where it's Emory County, I make a motion that we grant $70,000 to finish up and complete this project.
Okay, that motion's in order.
Yeah, I second the motion, whatever the opinion that Candace had, because I can still find in the Webster Dictionary what the word was that she used.
Inimitable.
We have a motion by Mayor Baker and a second from Mr. Zanotti to approve a $70,000 grant. Candace, did you have a comment?
I just want to point out, and I don't know if this changes anyone's opinion, but this loan was not closed until October 19th.
Right.
So all of your points are valid that there was time to know you were running into a problem.
I'll also note that typically when people come in for supplementals, we give the same terms that we did originally.
Right.
You know, this is awkward just because the loan is closed already. You know, this, again, if we had reviewed this back in September when kind of this was known and maybe some additional money was needed, we definitely would have done something differently. We would have done half and half just like we originally approved. That's the precedent that we really have on the table, so...
Just the comments.
Yes.
We go through this in the UDOT also. We approve the budgets for certain projects. Unfortunately, due to the circumstances of the sometimes they don't do the proper, we call them the blue stake, or the local communities, they have the blueprints for the utility lines, and then project ends up being more than anticipated. It's unfortunate, but that happens often.
I'll make a substitute motion.
Okay.
That's a 100% loan at make it a $76,000 loan at 2.5%.
For 25 years?
If that was regular terms, yes.
That was the original loan term. That substitute motion's in order. Is there a second? Seeing none, that motion fails. Back to the underlying motion. Any further discussion or questions? Seeing none, I'll place it to vote. This is to approve a $70,000 grant. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Galecki opposes.
I just want to make a comment.
Did you vote already?
What? I'm okay with the motion.
Okay, so you voted in favor?
Yes, I
okay,
did.
Let me just rule that the motion passes, and we'll go to Commissioner Ogden for a comment.
Okay, I just want to bring this to the board's attention. We've had a couple situations that this has happened before. We've got one out in Uinta County that they're now fighting because of some right-of-way issues. So I would caution the engineer companies, make sure you get all of your I's dotted and your T's crossed and get all of your right-of-ways in place. And maybe that would obviously not happen. I know we're still fighting that one up there, and that's you know, we're trusting you guys to do this. So certainly make sure you get your work done before you come get your homework done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, that's passed, so.
It should be noted that Carl Fillmore with the district is on his way here.
Yeah.
He's slow going.
It's
and
a challenge.
He'll get here about the time it ends. So. Would you like to stay? Well, we can ask lots more questions.
Can I just point out, if he comes late enough, he won't have to be shamed by the chair. That would be a good thing.
He won't be called a straggler. He'll be just absent.
He'll be honorable.
He'll have brunch.
Call him and tell him to turn around. Don't face the wrath.
Okay, we'll move on to board member discussion. We have two items to discuss. First is the CIB board, CIB funding criteria policy. So this was distributed to you. This is part of our ongoing effort to look at all the criteria that the board utilizes to do more of a review. And we're going to turn some time.
What was the more review part? I'm sorry.
More review for the applicants to understand what the standard parameters are for those types of requests, what they should be discussing with their community before it comes to the board. So what we're trying to do, Candace and staff will be heading out to do tutorials for all applicants for the next fiscal year. So we want to get this policy in place so that they can train on it and get communities holding public hearings in relation to this funding criteria. So, well, do we have, I know we have Paul that has laryngitis, right? So he's going to try to whisper really loud into the microphone and go through these tools.
Okay. How's everybody?
Better than you.
All right. Well, as you can see, I'm not 100% here talking, so sorry for that. Bad timing. So I have met with most of you one-on-one to go over this and discuss this. And like Jonathan was saying, I've been working with staff for the last while to formalize this policy so you could look at it and see where we're at. So let's see, I don't know.
So I think last we looked, we have a tool that applicants will use now as they complete the application that will spit out information. They're requesting an amount. Our formula kind of says what our standard practice would be around that type of a project and that type of a community. That's what the public hearing will be. That information will be part of the application process that comes into the board. So that's where we were last meeting that we discussed this. That was a tool. This is kind of the narrative of how that tool will be utilized, is what this policy really outlines. Is that accurate, Paul?
Thanks. Oh, yeah.
So, but certainly want to entertain any questions people have before, make sure everybody's comfortable with where we're at on this. Again, just to emphasize, this is really a tool at the applicant level to get public hearings right, to determine the amount needed, and then there will still be a lot of discussion at the board level of what that funding package looks like. But this kind of puts some standard parameters around that process.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. Would it be appropriate to ask Paul to read us the five-page document?
Not in order.
Mr. Treasurer.
Just trying to help.
Yes, Mr. Hansen.
You know, as Paul came out and did this presentation for Mayor Baker and I, you know, I was quite reluctant and even nervous as that began, and kind of even had a little bit of a mindset that maybe this wasn't the right thing to do. But after spending, I think, 2.5 hours in a dark room at UBAC and eating a whole bunch of Lifesavers, I think we ate about 1,000 Lifesavers in that meeting, I became extremely a big supporter. We did several scenarios of even projects that we may be looking at, ran them through, and I believe it will be a great tool for communities.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thanks a lot.
I have to say ditto on that. We felt like it was a good tool. And I'm even reading everything here. I'm impressed with it.
Good, thank you. Commissioner Lytle? Were you in that dark room? You didn't show up to the dark room and you bag.
I had my own.
What's up?
I had my own.
You had your own private meeting. Okay.
What a wizard. I mean, everything that he's put in, you call it a tool. I call it a model because it's got significant places for just everything that he's anticipated that affects our decisions, but still helping narrow, or maybe not narrow, but quantify those parts of the decisions. And the assumptions, the opportunity for assumptions is what makes it work. And I think he, with the help of the staff and yourself, anticipated things very well. Recognizing that it's a model to be, it's as good as its user and with the data that goes into it. I think with this board and the staff and himself being involved, it is a powerful tool. I'm very grateful for the work.
Thank you, Commissioner.
If I could, Mr. Chair, I agree with Mr. Lytle. Appreciate the work that Paul and others have put into the model. We talk sometimes about our struggles to be consistent. And
sounds like you're getting laryngitis all of a sudden, so... gather yourself. It's okay.
Obviously, we as board members want to maintain discretion, and this doesn't take that away. It helps us. It's a great tool, and it's not set in stone. It's something that we won't really know in full how well it works until we put it into production.
start working with it, and then we can tweak it as needed. But I think it'll help us immensely to be a little bit more disciplined, a little bit more consistent in our decision making. And I think it's very helpful to the board. And I'm sure you agree. We want to protect your discretion, your ability to exercise judgment, to bring the knowledge and experience that you have from your local communities and their needs into these decisions. But this will narrow or I don't want to say simplify, but certainly organize the thought process a little bit better.
If I may, real quick, to what you're saying, and not to put words in your mouth, but maybe change mine, it'll help us articulate those things where discretion's applied, I think, better and help avoid that challenge of arbitrary or capricious efforts. Mm-hmm. If that's fair, what you're saying.
Yes, go to Mr. Zanotti and then Commissioner Dalton.
I had the opportunity to talk to Paul a few times on the phone, not in person. He wanted to, but I think I was not available. Sorry, but good work. On the last page, I have a question about the financial hardship.
Yeah.
If we have received all the financial reports from the applicants and we have reviewed their budgets, when, in what point that becomes hardship then, that they have a reason to claim hardship?
So if we process an applicant using the criteria set out by the board and we're using in the model, and in the end, based on those parameters, the output is not in line with their available budget for debt service, really. At that point, then it would sort of the applicant would have to request that exemption, but that would be an instance where we've analyzed it, and in those criteria, they're just not able to pay for it.
Yeah, but I'm hoping that before bringing to our attention or the staff, they've seen the application, they know how much they can afford and how much it's going to cost of that project. So in that case, I'm sure they've in their own public meetings, hearings, they've discussed we have this much money and it's going to cost this much. Shall we go before CIB? Shall we afford it? So that's what I'm trying to figure out, that when become hardship so we can consider at that point.
Could that part of it be more helpful into how much is loan and how much is grant, or in terms of whatever that justification is for the hardship? I would suspect they, if I heard you correctly, that they'd be asking for hardship up front, yeah. if in fact there was an exigency or a need that outweighed their financial hardship to come to us for more grant. I'm trying to think of a model or an idea. Yeah.
I couldn't figure it out how we're going to apply that. There's emergency, of course. The next item is emergency. And then, of course, you need projects. We have a special circumstance. We have those categories that beautifully and eloquently have been stated. But I'm just trying to figure out when. If I'm going to shopping in some place, in department store, I see the value and I see, okay, there's not my budget this year. I cannot do it. I just stop my application. I just spend my money. I wait until next year when I have the money to buy it. I'm just trying to figure out that we don't want to have the embarrassment moment when they come before us as a board, and then we're going to have a challenge among ourselves that who's going to claim this to be hardship and who's going to be approving this hardship.
Keith?
Yeah, I'm not sure I 100% understand the concern, Mr. Zanotti, but one example that comes to my mind is several years ago when the oil markets crashed. And places such as Uinta County, who are accustomed to having a certain budget, all of a sudden had a fraction of what they had before, which put them in a financial hardship. And so in that instance, since the markets were unpredictable and unforeseen, especially such a huge collapse, they could have come to the board and petitioned for more favorable terms based on that fact. And that's how I understand the financial hardship criteria. And of course, any of those ultimately are up to the board to decide whether that's justifiable and what exactly that would look like. The staff will provide guidelines of what that will look like, but ultimately the board could say, yes, in these situations we would do a 100% grant or, you know, a 0% interest or something along those lines.
And similar to the tools we've been seeing already about the debt service, the capacity, those tools will still be available, and staff will do an analysis to help inform the board you know, I think your point is a community may say it's a financial hardship, but do we believe it's a financial hardship? Right. And, you know, how do we draw the line there? And, you know, they'll have to submit information. We'll review it as a staff and help provide some information. But you'll have all the information and the advice of staff on okay. what they think is a financial hardship, if there is one that exists.
So there will be some kind of notation or asterisk saying that this was approved by the, well, staff first or approved by the staff, and then it is still applicant will lock it before the board.
Yeah, the applicant has to claim it, but there will be a discussion at the board level with staff on okay. what we reviewed, how we feel about it, and okay. then the board can decide.
Thank you.
Did
Paul have an example in mind of how that hardship would look like?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I
not
can,
to make you talk more.
Well, you know, I like what someone said about putting words in other people's mouths, and I'm, you know, I welcome anybody putting words in my mouth right now. You know, in discussions with most of you, the board wants to fund good projects. They want to help, and they want to be able to push forward rural development. And at the same time, not overburden any entity with excessive amounts of debt. And they want to provide favorable terms on the whole. Like we were saying earlier, this tool is supposed to, again, sort of provide a framework or a model that sort of levels out some of that. So we treat similar applicants similarly. For this instance, an applicant comes in, they have, if you notice in the financial hardship, it does say that this is supposed to be for, they're supposed to provide evidence and argument that the proposed project is essential for the preservation of health, safety, and welfare. So
it's a need.
It's a need, exactly, and it's pushing that on the need. So community comes in with a need, and they have a very, very small budget. But based on the criteria we've set up, it has both interest rate minimums and loan minimums. And so in that framework that's already set up, that's the framework is the mechanism to make consistent decisions for the board. But if the applicant falls outside of that, it's a good project, but they literally don't have the funding for that. With all the projects, the applicant works iteratively with staff beforehand, so that they submit their application before the board sees the final proposal. The staff has called them, we've talked with them, we've gone over this tool with them, and you know we've examined their budget and the information that they've submitted. We're also working on a more robust tool to be able to analyze the debt capacity of applicants as well. So that will be part of this as well, that analysis. But after all that, if the end product is just outside of those parameters, then they would want to claim a financial hardship for that instance.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Dalton?
Yeah, I also want to thank Paul and the staff for putting the work into this. I think there's one thing that hasn't been touched on that I think is going to help, and in Paul and I's discussion last week, is I think we're going to get better information from the applicants, because they're going to see these guidelines and say, okay, if this, then this, if this, then this. That doesn't mean that we have to make that same decision that they come up with, but I think hopefully we'll get truer and clearer information from the applicants through this. My feeling.
Yeah. We're in the process of updating the application to be able to add some fields and some information buckets so they can submit that so you can use it in the analysis.
I mean, I've seen the short time I've been here is some applicants come asking for the sky and settle for the horizon. You know, and so if they'd asked for the horizon the first time, they'd have got it and would have been done. Wouldn't have spent an hour questioning them.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Or figuring out how we're matching that project to the other decision that we just made. You know, that's kind of really...
That's crossed my mind.
Yes. Because we do a lot of that just in our own minds. But.
Mm-hmm.
One more question, Mr. Chairman.
Hold on, Mr. Galecki, and then I'll come back to you, Mr. Zanotti.
Well, not to add to the accolades, but good job. There are two things that caught my eye, though, on the current document as it was set up.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just wording, but sorry, I've got to find it again. Yeah, on the funding package criteria.
Yeah.
Number four, provide the most advantageous funding package for the applicants, you know, now and in the future. I guess the most advantageous could be interpreted as, you know, get as much grant as possible. I'm wondering if it should be the most financially
effective or
something.
Yeah. With each of these, those, you know, the 1, 2, and 3, and 4, when the staff is using the tool to put together the funding package, this is sort of their priorities that they look at. So one is to keep the fund revolving. So, I mean, I know I've gone over the tool with most everybody. I could pull it up again. There's some tweaks to do, but their priorities are going to be first to keep that fund revolving in their fund package, which is to offer a loan if they can. And then next is to maximize the use of the mineral lease and bonus funds. As you know, that we have two different funds we pull from. One can take interest, one can't, and one is the only one we can pull grant out of as well. And so looking forward, we need to have those balance. One, we need to have those balances at hopefully healthy levels in perpetuity. That goes back to the first item. But also, if we have a whole lot sitting in the bonus fund, and that one can only be loaned out at interest, we probably need to loan something out at interest. And so that's going to be a consideration whether, you know, because oftentimes they can take a zero interest loan, but maybe we can take that down a little bit and do a 0.5% interest loan or something to get that money out and used. And then third would be the flexibility of funding. And that's, again, looking to the future. If we don't loan out of the mineral lease fund, and you know, mineral lease revenues go down, we'll be stuck without the ability to grant in the future. And then so that fourth one is after all those criteria are put in place, then the last is that they consider, again, what could be best for the applicant long term. That's not to say that we're trying to stick it to them with the other ones. It's very far from that.
How about we change the word advantageous to appropriate?
That sounds great.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
And I have another question. Factors based on specific applicant. And it's the second paragraph, you have local population income levels.
What page?
Sorry, it is page...
There's no page number.
1, 2, 3, 4. Second paragraph on page 4. When it speaks about the Magi, and let's see, it's probably the second sentence. For applicants with a Magi lower than 85% of the state Magi, and a maximum minimum interest rates would be reduced. My question is the 85% for reducing and the 125% for increasing, was that looked at? Do you feel comfortable? Was that looked at closely to see if that was a good, the appropriate distribution where 85 shouldn't be lower? Did you look closely at those two numbers?
Yeah, and I looked at different sources that have done something similar to that, and I thought that was kind of in line with those. I mean, that's, we can change it.
No. I was just wondering that you did have a criteria that went through that.
I did some research on that, looked at other entities and organizations that fund and how they deal with that in this state and other states as well.
Okay.
So.
Great.
Let's see. Commissioner Adams, then I'll come back to Mr. Zanotti.
Well, I'm probably taking the wrong approach, but I come somewhat from a community. I hope that we're not going to use this document, and the board is not going to take the attitude that we're going to vilify anybody that comes in for a grant. Because I'm telling you, there is communities that absolutely are impacted by extraction, and they need those grants as well as the loans. They just need some help to take care of some of the problems that they have in their communities. So I hope we don't take the attitude that if a community comes in asking for a grant, that they're trying to snooker the board into giving them more grant than they deserve, because certainly they've looked at their budgets and their financial situations, and they need a mix. Sometimes they need all grant. I don't know. I hope if we have grant money available, we're willing to say, look, we'll give this much in grant, or we'll give all grant, whatever is appropriate. But I don't want to see this document become a document that says if you come in for a big grant, this board's going to look down their nose at you.
We want us to add that line.
Yes, I do.
No, I mean, it's definitely... it's a challenge, but I think this document gives us just more consistent application. And if I'm not mistaken, I think pretty much any type of a need project would be, even under this tool, would qualify for some level of grant.
Absolutely.
So there's, and then we can get into the discussion of the finances. So I agree with, you know, what you want to have happen. I think we still have all that flexibility to do those types of things and have those conversations.
Good.
Yeah.
Commissioner Lightman. To Mr. Zanotti, and then I'll come back to you.
I don't dare step in
front. Oh, hey, you can have it. On page, still last page, second item of CIV project burden. The last sentence, I read PCIFB, which may then result in consideration of an increased percentage of the grant funding. I would like to see also or if you want, the lower interest rate. So if we don't give them a grant, if they're going to entitle for loan, then we should have the lower interest rate.
We should or should not?
Should. This just specifically said we're giving them just a grant, but if they don't qualify for a grant, and they're entitled, or they qualify for a loan, we should be able to have an opportunity of having a lower interest rate consideration.
Instead of an increased percentage?
No. You still have the increased percentage of grant funding or lower interest loan.
Okay.
We can make that work.
That way, they don't just come with the idea that I'm going to get a grant, but if they don't, negotiate the lower interest rate for the loan.
Okay. So we'll add in an or in there.
Lower interest rate.
And or.
And this is just the guardrail on the application side for applicants to consider. If they put more money into the project, that they would be eligible for more grant or a lower interest rate. That's really what we're trying to say here.
Yes.
Correct? Okay. So we'll add in the or lower interest rate as an option there, along with the upping the grant amount.
Okay.
Encourage them to go someplace else for the get some more money.
Commissioner Lytle.
On page 3, under public lands ownership, significant public lands, the third paragraph, including that one, applicants from counties with low percentages of public land may have their minimum interest rate increase while with the reciprocal high percentages. It says these amounts are established by staff and approved by PCIFB board. It's not clear to me what these amounts part of it is, and then is it established or is it recommended to the board by staff?
So is this in the model? Is this what you're referring to?
Yeah.
So right now there are parameters built into the model that help spit this information out for the board's consideration. It's not written into this policy. It's in the model that's associated with this policy right now. Is that right,
yeah.
Keith?
Yeah.
We establish it by utilizing the tool that he showed you. So that's how we don't make any arbitrary.
I wasn't inflecting arbitrary.
I know, but it still needs to be approved by you.
Yeah. What it is the tool that you have with those existing numbers are what will be utilized. The situation that we're uncertain about is how that will play out in real life,
right.
Especially as we've heard, you know, Commissioner Adams' concerns and other concerns. We'll have to experiment with this a little bit to see if it's where we want it to be,
right.
So that you know we're minimizing those negotiation factors and everyone knows what to expect. And so as it's currently constituted is what you're approving and what we'll use. But in the future, we may need to adjust that, and when we do, that will be approved by the board before the staff does anything with it.
I just wanted to know for sure what.
Yeah, we worked with that a little bit, and getting semantics work, you know, we just, so. But that's the intent, is that it may change in the future, and if so, you know, that will be approved by the board, and the applicants will know in advance. So.
I don't have an alternative. Verbiage.
And we couldn't come up with anything much better either.
Yeah, we might want to clarify that. Somehow, I don't know. We had a big discussion about that same point. Because we don't want to do anything without the board approving it.
No, like, and I wasn't.
Yeah.
And we want the applicants to know.
I just wasn't sure what the amount's part of it.
Yeah. It's what's currently what you... It's basically what was approved, you know, 2 months ago. But,
right.
Yeah.
The definition of amounts, I think, as I read the whole thing, it just caught my eye that was...
Yeah, or the factors
or the criteria, the
established
sideboards,
whatever
the Wayne County has 3% private.
Mr. Galecki,
I guess as I understand this, it's good to call it a tool or a modeling tool because it seems like you know a model is never correct. You know, it's just a guideline.
Yep.
You know, and so. I don't see the role of the board changing at all, but what this provides is basically a vetting tool for both the applicant, the staff, and us. It's just an additional, you know, tool, modeling tools, because it's not correct. It's not 100, you know, in Bruce's, to support Bruce, it's like, you know, it's never completely right. So, you know, from there, that's why our role stays the same. It's just a better... a better process for the application when it gets here.
Well, actually, your role increases because you're helping to set up the parameters for the whole thing. So you're responsible for that in addition to the rest of the decision making. Yeah. So sorry to make your job harder.
Well,
make it easier.
Also, the one part of that is I think it helps create that more of a leveling effect on the playing the field of play for the applicants because there's hard questions that they're not used to answering, some of them, or having to bring that data to justify their request in whatever form. I just see that as a positive in many ways.
Keith?
I appreciate the analogy of a model. You can always count on a good engineer. You know, everyone's familiar with the automobile industry, and they, of course, use clay models and computer models and all of these things. But if someone were to describe to you what the new Ford F-150 was going to look like, you'd have some idea in your head, but your idea might be very different than the guy sitting next to you. So they use models where you go, oh, now we all know exactly what that looks like. And so that's what this does. Before, we had no model. So everyone, every applicant, every board member had some idea in their mind what something should look like. This creates a real-life model to where the applicants, board member, staff, all have some type of visual as to what each application looks like and where it fits in. So I appreciate that analogy.
Yeah, I mean, if we all know that if it was a Ford, it probably wasn't going to run as good as.
Well, we don't want to get into the battle of Ford, Chevy, Dodge here. So
spend hours on.
Okay,
that.
Okay. Commissioner Ogden.
Isn't Dodge the only place that makes trucks?
Is she running there? Right?
No.
Well.
Commissioner Ogden.
Okay, I got to commend the staff and Paul and everybody that's worked on this, and I think we could. tweak this pretty good. I think we ought to just make a motion to accept this and with the changes that have been discussed today and move on.
May I have one more question before we do that, please?
Hold on. Let me just see if we've got a second.
Oh, sorry. I got a second.
Okay, so a motion made by Commissioner Ogden and a second by Mayor Baker to approve with those two changes. Mr. Zanotti.
Candace has a comment.
Okay, well, we can go to her after you. Yeah. So everybody has comments.
On page 3, under population, end of the second line says areas of the state with higher populations. What is the criteria of the higher populations? Do we have a number? How many people?
Yeah, we're using the it's based on the county level, and we're using the state's criteria. They have classifications of counties, first is Salt Lake. It's like over seven.
You're number six, so.
There's a few sixes.
Yeah.
So that's the state's criteria. We're just using that.
Okay. Everybody below class 4. It's all grant. Everybody above the last four.
I don't see that anywhere in this document.
I wonder where severe on the county
legislation changes we may have fewer of us in the lower ranks.
Candace, you had a comment?
Yes. The handout that you have is not the final document because we did have it reviewed by the AG's office. I have emailed you the corrected document, so it's in your email, but these new corrections will be what you're voting on, just the corrections. So we took out a lot of shalls, which held your finger to the flame, put in wills, and you have it in your application, and then we will change these. So what you're voting on, I just wanted to make it clear that what you approve is with your changes today and the AG's changes that are in your email as of 9:15.
When do we expect this to be?
Today.
Applicants using
it. Oh.
July 1.
Fiscal year 21.
So we'll have opportunity for more discussion at the next retreat.
All the time.
Yeah.
But we will be preparing an application because we're doing the tutorials to prepare them for the new funding cycle. So in March and...
The modeling tool and application will be revised so that applicants are applying for the next trimester using this criteria. This is why we need to get it approved so that it's fully adopted. We'll push it out. The next round of applications we get will be based on this new criteria.
And then you'll be doing dry runs in the meantime.
Exactly, yeah. We're going to be testing this in the meanwhile. With applicants, not that it's not binding, but at that point, but to see how things work and make sure that this is running smoothly before then.
Mr. Chair, I just want to point out that Commissioner Ogden has had his morning sausage. We don't need to make any more.
Okay, seeing Commissioner Dalton.
Please.
One more.
Yes.
As Treasurer Damson stated, this is... I want verification for sure that this is a model. This is guidelines. This does not set policy. And Allison, it'd been nice if we had a red line so we'd know what changed from there to there.
I can send that to you. That's what I sent staff. I can send you a red line. I caught one more typo today.
Okay.
But so just so we're all clear, this is you know, model guidelines or policy. I mean, policies are not binding like rules or statutes are. So this, you know, can be subject to change. You can tweak it, see how it works out. If you decide it's working, you have the option to move it into rules. If that's something you want to do, you don't have to. See how it goes.
So,
but yeah, I can send a red line when I get back to the office.
This is a living, breathing document that can change at the July meeting, the August meeting, the September meeting.
Correct.
Is this going as guideline or policy?
Policy, yes.
They're kind of the same difference. Yeah, it's not a rule. It's not a statute, obviously.
But there's some splitting of hairs among other agencies with guidelines and policy.
I don't know if the AG's office takes that view or not, but
I'm asking.
I think the bottom line is that it's not binding. You do have discretion. It is, you can change it anytime you'd like. See what's working, see what's not working. That's one of the reasons I in the version that you'll see, I changed most of the word shall to will or may, or it took away that mandatory language.
Do we speak to it in the form you just spoke in terms of within the document? And I apologize for not being right on it, but the intent, is it, has it been written in the words you just said in terms of it? We recognize it's a living, or is that all assumed by the fact that it's a guideline or a rule? Or a
the latter, yeah. The fact that it's not a rule means that it's not binding or mandatory, that you do have flexibility.
All right, thank you. Sorry, I had to put my special sauce in this.
One more comment in there. Is there any way we could maybe have you put a revision date at the bottom or somewhere so we can kind of, when things are changed or done, we know we got the current revision date?
Yeah, at the end, like a lot of contracts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I would assume within the policy, most policies have that once it's in that format.
Yeah, it'll be adopted as of today. That will be the date of the document, and if we make any changes in the future, there will be new dates that get added.
But we don't have a copy of what we're actually voting on because there's been some changes made.
You're doing
in
your email.
No.
To the changes.
There's other questions like Mr. Zanotti's.
No, I'm making those changes. So
right, but we're not going to have that, but. We can if it comes out in April or comes out between now and April and we don't like the changes that were presented, we can change it in April.
Yes,
sure. Correct.
If need.
We'll be compiling your Bible.
We've noted.
Make the changes.
I understand that.
We have noted the changes that will be incorporated, and as soon as we get a moment after the meeting, we'll make the changes and send out the finalized document as approved by this board. Mr. Glucky.
That's just a real small thing. So when each time it's revised, is there a revision at the each page on the bottom of it, or is it just the letter itself that says revised?
You just got
it'll be at the bottom of the letter.
On each page, say revised in the date.
You just got the update.
All right, motion before us is to approve with those changes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that motion passes unanimously. Thank you for all your participation. Thank you, Paul and staff and everybody who worked really hard on this, for board members making the one-on-one time to discuss this and get comfortable with it and incorporate it. It really is, you know, we have kind of a mammoth responsibility. We have all these criteria that we're supposed to consider and, you know, not a lot of other parameters besides that. So it's really been a big job to get everybody working toward some consistency here. And I'll reiterate, I think for the most part, we have been pretty consistent without a tool, but this is going to help us even better. So we're very excited about it. We have one last item to discuss, the policy retreat, Candace.
Excuse me?
Do a policy retreat?
Oh, we have, yeah. As you know,
the policy retreat is scheduled for the second week of June. It is in Kanab. We are waiting for information from Kane County. So
got both of them right here.
We have Kane County.
If Kane County is going to come
Kane
on
County
a day like this,
arrived.
We want to hear from Kane County. So.
No, you helped us out in Leadsfield.
You were here for other reasons. Yes.
I just wanted to say thank you to Mike for recommending us over there, and we will do everything possible to make it a real great retreat. We're excited about our new facility, and love to have you see it. Love to have you see other parts of Kane County. We are of course, as you've heard, we are a mineral-producing county now. We have our coal mine that is producing on federal coal, and if anybody would like to see that, we'll make it happen. So, Candace, whatever we can do, what we haven't done, you've got my phone number.
you can bother me all you like, and I'll make sure this gets done.
So far, there's been great response. We're just waiting for the actual hotel. And then in the April meeting, we will provide that information, we hope to, by the April, which is the first Thursday in April. And we will provide... No,
the 2nd of April.
Yeah. Yeah, April. Good, it's not April 1st. So it's the 2nd of April. And everyone will sign up, and then we'll have all of the numbers and all of the extra rooms requests and everything to Kane County. But there's been pretty good response with your travel coordinator. Good. So.
If you run into any problems, I'd like to introduce Commissioner Gann. The next guy in line with me, and we have one more that's here, but he's up at the legislature. We're just glad to have you come to Kane County. And so if we can do anything for CIV other than what we're doing, let us know. Thank you.
We are very excited to be there on behalf of the board, so
thank you
for hosting
us. Thank you.
Okay, no other items on the agenda. I'd entertain one last motion.
So moved.
A motion to adjourn from Commissioner Lytle. All in favor say aye.
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 It's not debatable, is it?
We're adjourned. Thank you.